Here we go. Yeah. Get up out of bed. Get up. Get up with Tim and Jess. Go. Hit CQ.
Good morning. It's Tim and Jess here on Hit CQ. We are celebrating Monday. And this morning show is thanks to Alma Street Medical. Looking for a medical center that values quality and quantity? Call Alma Street Medical.
Tim, we've got a massive show still to come today. Of course, last night, Married at First Sight, if you weren't watching it, I mean, you're probably one of the only people in the country that weren't. I got proper into it.
You were Instagram. It's like, is Instagram storying the new version of live tweeting?
I think so. Because Twitter. That's how I use it.
Well, to be honest, Twitter never went good in Australia.
I always found Twitter really hard to follow because, like, as I'm typing, I'm missing like 100 tweets at the time.
And that must be so hard for you.
But I have mad FOMO on Twitter.
Yes, but again, as someone that didn't watch Married at First Sight, I'm looking forward for you to telling me what went on,
Tim,
homie.
Tim, drama, scandal, Davina's a dog. I'm going to tell you all about it after 7:30. She a dog.
Talking about dogs, Jess, there might be a dog in this studio sitting across from you.
Mm-hmm.
As this morning, what I and a friend of ours thought to be bit of a ha-ha, turned out to be not of a ha-ha at all.
Worst prank ever. About an hour ago, I was having a panic attack in this very studio.
Yes, you were. and I apologise, and I have apologised. And look, looking back, you did give a reaction that probably lines up with your personality. So
I don't know why you thought I was going to give any other reaction.
Just thought it was going to be, oh, you rascals. But I will tell after this next song, I'll let you know what went down, because might have been a bit of a slippery, slithery accident.
If you don't ever want to have friends again, listen up, because I'll tell you how you can get rid of them.
It's only taken me how long to realise how I to not be your friend? To just be the cruelest human being ever? We'll tell you exactly how cruel I can be after this. It's Tim and Jess.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
Tim and Jess on Hit CQ. And look, it could have just been Tim this morning here.
It almost was,
honestly. Almost was, because look, on Saturday, something happened to a friend of ours, and he found a shedded snake skin in his home.
Yeah.
Couldn't find the snake, carpet python.
He posted it on Facebook, and I immediately said to him, move. Just move. Straight up move house.
Just move your house.
Or burn it down, because you cannot live there anymore.
And I caught up with him that afternoon. We all caught up on Saturday night for a board game night where no board games were played. What a game.
I decided to invite my best friends in Queensland round to my house, made you guys dinner, and what did I get in return, Tim?
We brought the snake skin. Because I thought, because originally I was like, we should scare Jess with this, but you'd already commented on the photo. So I was like, well, she's aware of it, so that's going to bring down the likelihood of her thinking it's legitimate.
Little did you know, I'm an absolute fool.
Yes. And so, to be honest, I'd forgotten all about it. And a good old friend, after I'd left, sent me a message saying it's been placed in between her bedside table and her bed on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The snake skin of a carpet python, about a metre and a bit long. So it's not a small carpet python.
No, it was terrifying. And I woke up this morning.
To be fair, you should have found it.
I absolutely should have found it before this morning. But you know what? Yesterday I went out and did things with my life. I woke up, I went to the gym, I went to the beach, I was out all day.
So you didn't nap, essentially, is what you're saying today.
And usually I nap. This is why I nap, Tim.
This is why you nap.
I woke up this morning and I went to find my cat, Chandler, and he's got a food bowl underneath my bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to refill that with water.
Sure.
And I found what I thought was a snake skin.
Yep.
Of a snake that was in my house still.
And you sent a message going, look at this snake skin, I need to move. And I thought, oh, haha, she's aware that Matt's left his snake skin at the house. And no, because you came in bawling your eyes out having a panic attack. And look, it didn't feel good.
I called my mother and I was like, Mum, I'm leaving Queensland. Like, that's it. Get me on a plane. I'm coming home. And she was almost about to book a flight to come up here and help me move.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. That sounds a lot like your family.
Not a fun joke. And Matt, if you're listening, not a funny joke. We're not friends anymore.
Look, looking back, I could see this reaction happening. And I'm more surprised I didn't have there was a few red flags that I feel missed my peripherals as they were flying past. So I apologize. I was in on
it. Thank you. I appreciate public apology.
I will take 30% of the blame for this.
That's a lot for you.
Well, that's probably my standard, because it means I can never be fully put into more than a third. So I apologize 30%, and Matt next time you see Matt, I'm sure that his murder will be swift.
I'm never speaking to Matt again. That's it. Friendship over.
Really?
Done.
Wow. I don't believe you because we don't have many friends here.
I mean, if he brings me some chicken nuggets this morning, I'll probably forgive him.
It's Tim and Jess.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch-Up on Hit.
Right now, I want to talk about the lower end of central Queensland. I'm talking about 1770, the town. Obviously, in previous instances, the only town, from what I understand and what I'm led to believe, not only in Australia, but the world, that is named with numbers.
Yes.
So the number's 1770.
1770.
There has been a poll recently for the locals and the people of central Queensland because people are thinking maybe it should be spelt 1770, like S-E-V.
I always thought it was, though, because, like, on Google Maps, it's spelt 1770, as in the words, not the
See, maybe we use different
letters.
Maps because mine's spelt 1770.
Ah.
So, and look, to be honest, confusing for other people because people will be like, well, is that the postcode? But I thought Queensland had a 4 to start the postcode. I'm very confused. And there was a vote in the 174 respondents have voted the town, which is over 80% to be the numbers 1770 instead of the letters of SEV and a lot of
So what was the argument? Why do people care?
Well,
isn't it the same thing?
Well, I think it's cool to be history. Like,
right.
Hey, we're the only town in the world that's named with numbers. That's pretty cool. Also, one person was like, "Hey, just name it Agnes Water. It's close enough." No. No, we will not.
We are our own town.
Yep.
And to be fair, I've been there. It's beautiful.
I
understand why they want to keep it their own.
It deserves to be removed and special as the only town in the world with numbers as the letters of the town.
So how official is this survey?
Oh, you know, pretty fish. Newspaper did it.
Oh, you know.
The Observer did it. That's
sure.
Pretty fish.
Yeah, okay.
So now when tourists get through, they'll be very confused. But once they get there, they'll realise how beautiful it is and they'll forget all about the confusion of the number town.
As long as it's an official vote, I'm on board.
It's super official. Probably done by the government.
Yeah.
Cannot confirm, though.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch-Up on Hit.
Tim, last night was a big episode of Married at First Sight, and before you switch your radar off, if you're not a fan of it...
Time to go to a song.
I'm going to talk you through exactly what happened, because it was a lot of drama, a lot of scandal.
Really condense it, my friend.
Right, so they had commitment ceremonies last night, right? All the couples in one room, and they have to decide whether they want to stay in the experiment or leave the relationship
sure.
and leave the experiment, right? Yeah. So there's 4 people I want to talk about in particular.
All right, let's go through them quick.
Ryan and Davina
are they
a couple.
Together? Okay.
Yep. They got married.
Sure.
And then you got Dean and Tracy, also married. Now, Dean and Davina have broken all the rules and have been meeting up in secret.
Turns out these relationship experts aren't very smart.
Scandal.
They put the wrong people together.
So Dean promised Davina that he was going to say leave during the commitment ceremony.
So that they could be together.
Yes.
Sure.
So Davina wrote leave on her card.
Okay.
Then Dean slept with his wife the day before the commitment ceremony.
What a little slut.
And decided to stay.
Oh, no, mate.
And this love triangle blew up on the screen last night, and I was living for it.
Because you were Instagram storying the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it. I didn't read it, but I was aware that if you were Snapchatting and storying it that much, that it was important to you.
I've decided that commitment ceremonies should absolutely be, like, compulsory in real life. Like, imagine knowing exactly where you stand with a guy all of the time.
Well, I feel like, well, at least in my relationships in the past, I've had that, but it's just, like, there's been no television crew and someone judging me. I've had that conversation with my partner, but just in a room full of tears.
Imagine having that conversation in front of an audience and being like, I want to stay with this person, or I'm not into you anymore, Jessica, and like save me some time.
Look, you'd have to pay me at least $5 to do something like that. I'm an expensive man.
But on 13, 12, 16, I want to hear your stories because I'm absolutely living for this at the moment. The idea of a love triangle in real life is just, I mean, I want to hear your stories.
I don't think I've ever been involved in a love triangle in the way that I would have liked to. I just kind of liked someone else. And
oh, right, and they were already
They were a couple.
Right.
And I was like, guys, this triangle, how do we get out?
But Tim's over here.
Guys, pick me. No one picked me.
13, 12, 16, tell us about your love triangle.
Yeah. Have you been in one? What happens? Can you just stay as a three? Is that law?
I mean, it's always got to come to a head, and it's not always going to happen on a commitment ceremony on television, is it?
Well, 9 times out of 10, no. But that's not what we're talking about. 13, 12, 16, have you been in a love triangle?
Tim, we're talking about love triangles
sure.
after an epic episode of Married at First Sight last night. In case you missed it, bit of a love triangle drama. I mean, it was almost a square, but Ryan really wasn't involved in any of this. He didn't understand what was happening.
Yeah. So essentially the show is, all right, are you going to stay... They couple you together. Mm-hmm. This thing, the ceremony commitment of whatever, of happiness, whatever it's called. They want you to say, hey, are you going to stick around or hey, are you going to leave?
Yes.
Essentially, it's like a make or break
and a
meeting.
A husband and a wife from two separate relationships decided they were going to leave their partners and be together. And then one of them changed their mind, creating this awkward love triangle where two women wanted the same guy.
Oh, man. If nothing's ever described my life more than this moment of two women wanting me.
All right.
It just happened.
I am living for love triangles at the moment.
You need to chill. You need to... Take a deep breath.
I haven't
breath.
Got a lot going on in my own love life.
Get some
life,
iced
Timmy.
Water and let's just all take a deep breath.
On 13/12/16 though, we've got Mark from Gracemere. Yep. Mark, have you got a love triangle situation going on?
Got Mark on 13/12/16 from Tanham Sands. Mark, have you been in a love triangle?
I have.
Can you please tell us everything about it? Did it end well?
I don't know how to explain it. It's very, very awkward. I do have a partner.
Okay.
But I did have another lady who seemed to be very interested in me, but called me a friend. So like, we're just friends. We're just friends. But it was very intimate and deep, and it was a very awkward triangle to be in.
So you were like the point of the triangle,
the tip of the berg.
Oh, so how did you discover that she had feelings for you if she was just friend zoning you?
When I text back saying, yeah, buddy, or mate, it was like, oh mates now. And it was just like, whoa.
It's brave. It is brave. Well, Mark, I hope it has gone well for you. We must run, but thank you very much for your call.
Thank you very much.
No worries, mate.
13/12/16, if you do ever want to get involved in the show. Tim, I mean, are you going to watch Married at First Sight tonight? Now that you know what's going on, you're caught up to date?
No. But thank you for the offer.
I'll Instagram it for you, don't worry.
Lucky us.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
A bloke in India, 46-year-old man, has been bedridden for the last 2 years because of a massive lump on his thigh.
Okay.
Now, apparently the lump was caused by a mosquito bite.
Sure.
2 years ago.
Okay.
And it just exploded because he has a condition called elephantitis. Right?
Like Elephant Man?
This sounds like a made up thing, but literally, I'll show you a photo right now.
No, thank
and just
you.
Describe what you're looking at.
Oh. It looks like a, if I can be frank, testicle.
I mean, but it's not.
I know it's not, but I'm saying you asked me what it looked like.
It's a giant lump on the side of his thigh. So that was a mosquito bite.
It looks like an elephant's tummy.
Mm-hmm. And it blew up to 13.9 kilograms.
It looks like he's sitting on a beanbag. That's what I'm saying right now.
He does. The beanbag is his body, though.
Yes.
And he finally had it removed because doctors found out it was infected.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like maybe when it got to a kilo big, 5 kilos
Mate,
big.
If I get a single mosquito bite, I'm on the 000. Excuse me. What do I do? Help me. Calling Crime Stoppers going, can we find this mosquito? Because there's a crime been done.
Hunt him down.
Hunt him down.
I mean, I'm constantly covered in mozzie bites, but if I had
why.
A lump this big, I would be straight to the hospital.
You had a ring on your, what was it, your arm? And you were convinced that it was ringworm. But that's not where ringworms are, mate.
Well, they were all over my body. So I don't know why the mozzies love me so much, but I'm just glad it's never gotten to this point.
It's your very rare Macedonian blood. That they're after. See, someone like me that has just like the whitest version of blood. I'm assuming I'm A positive, the most common sense of blood.
You're practically translucent.
Yeah, I'm like, I've figured out that I am the generic sim. I am a generic sim. Like when you go default white male, that's me, and I have normal blood. And mosquitoes don't care for me, but they care for people like you.
Yeah, and apparently this guy. So just be thankful you don't have elephantitis. Yeah. And you won't be getting a lump removed. I might chuck a picture up of this on our Facebook page because this is, I mean, too much.
I assume he bought it from Kmart. It could be a ruse. Tim and, it's a beanbag. Tim and Jess.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
Who knew indeed that you would react the way you have reacted after a small prank that a friend of ours, Matt, and I did to you over the weekend?
Look, I wouldn't say it was a small prank. I invited you around to my house
Tinsy
for
Wincy
a beautiful
prank.
Dinner. On Saturday night.
It was my idea to have the dinner. I just couldn't have it in my house because of the garbage house I live in. But, yes, you invited us around for dinner. And I thought perfect opportunity because our friend Matt, earlier that morning, had found a carpet snake skin in his living room. They couldn't find the snake, but they could find the skin. And we thought it would be funny to bring the snake skin to your home and to leave it under your bed. And we thought that you were going to find it on Sunday and be like, oh, Matt, that silly bugger, because you'd seen the Facebook post, you'd comment on it. So you were aware that there was a snake skin.
I told him to move.
Yes.
I said, move house. If I ever find a snake skin in my house, I will be burning that sumbitch down.
And it turns out today, the house almost went a lit because you discovered it at about 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Got a message, and I thought, because you were like, I'm moving. It wasn't like a serious I'm moving. It was just, I'm moving house. And then you came into work and you were crying and having a panic attack.
I had a full-blown panic attack
called
this morning.
Called your mum. Don't know what she can do. She lives 20 hours away.
She was ready to jump on a plane. And then you told me it was a prank.
I said, Matt may have done this as a laugh.
I started looking up, Googling how to find a snake in my house because I was like, how am I going to go home today?
Talking parcel tongue. Harry Potter joke. And so, yes, look, the mild panic attack, the crying and potentially a vomit is a bad reaction of a prank, you'd have to say.
Yes.
And I am sorry. And again, I have said earlier this morning that I will take 32% of
the blame. Think Matt is feeling guilty because he brought me in chicken nuggets this morning. I didn't know Mac has made chicken nuggets this
early. No, because he called McDonald's and said, look, I stuffed up. I need your help.
He's lucky
and
I love him.
So on 13, 12, 16. When did a prank backfire? Because I feel like it's potentially backfired on me. Because I was going to, like, in my mind, you were going to come in and you were going to be like, Tim, today, this is what we're talking about. I found something in my room. And then you have a bit of a rant for 2 minutes. And then I go, ta-da,
surprise.
It was a joke.
Yeah.
Turns out mild fear of snakes is an aggressive
fear
of snakes.
Who knew I had an aggressive fear of snakes? So, I found that out this morning.
And so did I, because I had to hug you. And I don't like doing that, but that's okay. So 13, 12, 16, when did a prank backfire? Because it can happen to the best of us. I've broken a bone in a backfired prank.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be pranking people. Have we learned this lesson?
That's fair. 13, 12, 16, when did a prank backfire? It's Tim and Jess on Hit CQ.
Talking about pranks that went horribly wrong,
yeah.
Tim.
Turns out me and our friend Matt leaving a snake skin of a carpet python that's probably 1.5 meters long, obviously no snake inside, under your bedside table in your bed is not a funny prank. Looking back.
Not when I had a panic attack just before we're about to go to air
on
this show.
Bit of an overreaction in my opinion. But hey, we all react different
overreaction.
To different
you can see the picture for yourself at Hit on our Hit CQ Facebook page and Instagram and then tell me I'm overreacting. Thing is huge.
If it was moving, I would be a little more alarmed. I'd be 20% alarmed. If it was on my face, 50% alarmed.
I left the house fully thinking there was a snake in my room and I just left my cat.
I know.
Fend for yourself, Chandler.
Great mother. You are a great mother. But on 13, 12, 16, we have been asking, when did a prank backfire?
Mm-hmm.
Because it happens to the best of us. And we've had Ash call through from Gracemere on 13, 12, 16. Ash, when did a prank backfire for you?
Okay, well, I'm a hairdresser.
Okay.
I was playing around with a client one day, waving my scissors around and like, oh, imagine we cut your hair really short.
Oh, no.
I'd already know where this is going.
And I may have accidentally took a chunk out.
Bobs are coming back into fashion. That's how you sell that. That is most unfortunate. How did they react? I'm assuming it was a free haircut?
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't charge it for that one.
No, not today.
Did you get a return client or was that it after that?
No, she did come back. She wasn't regular for a couple of years.
But she didn't come back to you?
Yes, I saw her a few times after that and never again.
I'd like to book an appointment, not with Ashley, if that's okay. It's Helen, clearly. Oh, wow. I do feel that that's probably a tricky one because it's a work one. I'm surprised.
Honestly, I'd rather someone cut a chunk out of my hair than have a snake skin in my room.
Did your boss speak to you? Like, was it potentially job losing?
She did. She did. She had a word to me.
More pranks in the workplace.
No.
Well, I'm glad you still got your job, Ash, but thank you very much for your call, mate.
Thanks, guys.
No worries, mate.
Jim, we also got a message on our Facebook page. Just search for Hit CQ if you want to comment.
Sure.
Kathy said when she was about 12, her sister Leanne threw a dead huntsman on her face while she was laying down on the beach reading.
Nice.
I think I would honestly...
What's the backfire? Is it just the spiders on your face?
It's
funny.
A dead huntsman.
Yeah, it's not alive. If I would be more annoyed if it was alive.
I would never speak to my sister again.
Well, you know what? I've even realised that even in your peril, which was a panic attack because of a snake skin that wasn't even real inside your house, you got chicken nuggets out of this. So you win. Even when you're not winning, you're winning. And I'm sick of it. going to some music and ads.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hits.
On the phone now, we are joined by a very special person because Puppetry of the Penis is rolling into town very, very soon.
Yeah, Puppetry of the Penis is going to be in Rockhampton tomorrow night and then Gladstone Wednesday night. And we've got Rich, one of the performers, on the phone right now. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Now, mate, first of all, your name's ridiculous for your job. Your name's Richard in Australia. Dick is a name that can be shortened to that, so congratulations on being perfect for your job.
Nothing shortened in the show, by the way.
Now, for people that might not be familiar with Puppetry of the Penis, can you just quickly run through what people might be seeing when they go to these shows on Tuesday and Wednesday night?
You need to come expecting full frontal male nudity. It is bending, twisting, tucking of our genitalia.
Nice.
And we make about 40 different shapes, installations, we like to call them.
Right. So, I mean, what kind of training do you go through for something like this? Like, are you working 24 hours a day on this?
You know, well, I think guys can probably understand this is something that we grew up kind of always doing, and we've just really taken it to the max.
All right, speak for yourself, Richard. I'm a good boy.
I mean, so did you have a few moves of your own that you've inserted into the show, or do they train you up when you are...
Yeah, no, there was a lot of training involved, but it's also, you know, it's like locker room kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You just, you know, you get out of the shower, it's nice and warm, you swing it around.
Don't we all, mate?
Look, guys, it's the swan. Let's put this one into the show.
Now, Richard, exactly. Obviously, it's all done in great taste, all done in great fun. And from obviously all the reviews around the world and the shows that you guys have done, it is a great event. And I think you could agree with me that I think mums love this show.
That's true. And you know what? My mom even has seen the show.
So. Stop it.
All right.
Rich, are you serious? Your mom has sat in the audience for this.
Yeah. Yep. She's three times she's seen it.
That's my boy.
Yep.
That is incredible. Well, we are very lucky to be having Richard on the phone because right now we have the final and the final double pass to go and see Puppetry of the Penis in Gladstone. So 13, 12, 16, give us a call right now. It is yours. You could be seeing the man on the phone right now, Richard Dick, and his business, Puppetry of the Penis. Thank you very much for chatting
to us,
Richard.
I'm very excited, Richard.
Thank you. I'll see you soon.
Oh, Jess, you will see him soon.
Every bit of him, Tim.
13, 12, you are naughty. 13, 12, 16, give us a call. Last remaining double pass to the Gladstone show at Puppetry of the Penis.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hits.
Jess, I want to talk about something that happened this weekend,
yeah.
Just quickly before we do jump to news. It was my one-year anniversary with my lovely girlfriend, Jessica.
No, I'm not this Jessica.
My girlfriend's name is also Jessica. We're a long-distance relationship at the moment. She lives in South Australia, which is geographically far away.
So how did you mark this beautiful occasion?
Well, obviously we video chat a lot, mm-hmm. but we video chatted like a designated. It's like we split between Valentine's Day and our anniversary. So we dressed up nice, had dinner, had the same dinner, and exchanged gifts. But I didn't send them to her because she's moving here, so it's just more shit for her to bring.
Yeah.
So I got everything and I gave it to her here. I went to the local Bunnings like a good boy, and she loves plants. And unfortunately, moving here, she's had to get rid of about 40 plants.
Yeah, her house was basically a forest.
So I've started our collection. This was my gift to her. I bought her one plant, but don't ask me to name it right now because I haven't got the little tab with me. But it was just chaos getting it into the pot that I bought, man. Like, I've never been covered in that much dirt in my life.
Why don't you just get the people at Bunnings to do that for you?
I don't think that's a service.
They don't?
No, I'm getting a nose in the room. But, I don't know. Your life
If it's not a service that Bunnings provides, you're missing out on a whole market of people.
And to be honest, I'm a man, you're a girl. Like, my breasts aren't as nice as yours, so they might be doing things for you more than they're doing things for me. I don't want to put words and opinions in the people that work at Bunnings, but that service was not offered to me.
I might test it out this afternoon and see if they do offer it.
Hey, I need to extend my fence, Jeremy. What are you doing?
All right.
But so it was a very special moment for me this weekend.
Yeah.
And
what did she get you?
You got me cookies with a happy anniversary on them. I forgot really quickly. I also reenacted with a salt and pepper shaker how we met. Super cute.
Beautiful.
Tell you what, the pepper's got moves. He's a good dancer.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hits.
Jess, you said we were going to get Keith Urban on the show. What day are we up to?
Yeah, day 14. It's still in the works, Tim.
Have you made any contact with Angela Bishop?
I'm still trying to work out a day that we can contact her. She is not accepting my phone calls.
Anyway, Jess, I realised something this weekend while making my breakfast that I feel is an unnecessary setting on a toaster.
Right.
In what world, in what universe would you want a piece of charcoal to come out of a toaster?
Why? I don't think anyone wants that.
Why exactly? Why do they have a setting that essentially gives you a lump of coal? Who would
do you mean
eat
like
that?
Four?
No, so like top setting, whatever yep. it is, whatever it's four or six on your toaster, no one's putting a whole 2 minute sixer in because then you're coming, it's not bread at that point.
Well, I think that setting would be for like if you've got bread in your freezer.
No, because it still burns it because I tested that.
Oh, did you?
I had a very expensive weekend of testing bread and every version
Mate,
of what.
You need to get a life.
This is my life. Yeah. And I understand that. Potentially, it could be used if you really needed to quickly put toast in the toaster right. and get it sorted so you're on the way. But at what point is your life? At that point, you just don't have breakfast. I feel like the burnt, crispy setting on a toaster is unnecessary.
See, I only just discovered last year that the numbers actually mean minutes. I thought it was just like level of toastiness.
Level of crunch.
Yeah. I like a 2.5 on my crunch.
No. And I just don't think that anyone in the world is having that charcoal toast. So why do they keep making
My
it?
Dad likes it proper burnt.
There's a difference between proper burnt where it's a little bit black on the outside.
He'll just smear more butter on it. It's just an excuse for him to use more butter.
It looks like it's popping out like a carving out of a black ball. Like it's not edible. It's like you burnt the garlic bread on Saturday night at your house.
Oh, I know. And I'm never going to live it down, am I?
And that was just edible. Yeah. And it was full black.
And I think that's because it was covered in garlic.
Yes,
if it wasn't covered in garlic, it would be just straight up charcoal.
So I just think, toast manufacturers, I know you're listening because you do listen to this show. Stop. Don't give us four.
Where should the toaster finish? At three? Or is three even too dark?
No, three. Well, three's just getting dark where you could still eat it.
Right, so you want it to finish at three. That should be the maximum level of toastiness.
That is, I feel, acceptable.
And if people want more toastiness, they can just chuck it in again.
You're a man of my word. You're a man of my heart. You're a man of my thinking. I like you, Jess Bantu.
I try my best.
You can stick around.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch-Up on Hit.
Jess, before we duck out of here for the day, we've still got some great music coming up. But, you know, I've never been a massive fan of cats, right?
No. I mean, you tolerate my cat, Chandler.
Yeah, you were like, oh, he was so nice to you this Saturday night because I was at your house. He scratched my thumb. And you were like, you should feel special about that. No.
He gave you attention.
He did not give me attention. He gave me a scar. But that's all right. And there is a stray cat that sometimes comes and lounges on my back patio, my tiles out the back, because it's nice and warm. He just sits out there. He lives in the little, I don't know whose he is. He probably
just moves around and picks a different person every day.
Exactly. But for at least an hour or two, he just sits on my back tiles under the chairs and tables, and he just lives his life.
Not unusual behavior for a stray cat.
And I have left him. Or her, whatever it is, because I go, you know what, Tim, you're better than that. Don't yell at an animal. It's just a stray. It's probably struggling.
Has it got a collar on?
I haven't paid that much attention. Okay. I don't think so. And yesterday, it pushed the boundary too far, and now I'm actively going to be getting rid of this cat.
What did it do?
So I bought a pot plant because I bought a plant for my girlfriend's anniversary.
Of course.
And so I bought another pot for it to put in. So there was the plastic one that it came in sitting up on top of the table, emptied. And I just left it there because I was like, I'll clean this up because I was already covered in mud from changing it. So I left it there and I just left it on top of the table. And the cat, yesterday afternoon, about 3 or 4 o'clock, was having its normal snooze underneath the table.
Sure.
A gust of wind picked up the pot, knocked it down, the plastic pot. So it just made like a bang. The cat got so scared, it jumped up, vomited on my tiles and ran away. Did a little bit of a wee as well.
It was not expected.
And I was like, I saw it all unfold because I was washing the dishes. And I was like, what's going on? What's going on here?
The cat vomited out of fright.
Yeah, and then peed and then ran away. So I had to go wash my tiles.
So you have cat pee and vomit.
Yeah. And I was like, no, mate, Hector. I'm calling him Hector. He's the worst. And if cats are trying to win me over, this is not how you do it. So hopefully you can go home. And I'm assuming Chandler's just like, your cat has absolutely torn your TV apart or something. Because that's how I feel.
He's definitely not vomited in my backyard.
Yep.
My cat likes me.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit.